This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
What crazy planet are you living on?
Yeah. What crazy planet? Earth.
Crazy enough.
Crazy enough. Maryland, but, you know, the crazier planet is Florida, but okay.
Yeah. The South is a weird planet.
It is.
Hello, welcome. We're talking about Rehearsals of New York and Beverly Hills today. You know, one made me think a lot and the other one made me laugh a lot.
Let me guess. New York made you think a lot and Beverly Hills made you laugh a lot.
No, I was thinking a lot with Beverly Hills because I wanted to also know who Hunky Dory is.
I know who Hunky Dory is. Hunky Dory is what Kathy thinks is Dorit's nickname.
Yeah.
Dorit is Hunky Dory, the English girl.
Or my English girl. But do you notice that when she said my English girl, Dorit responded with, I'm from Connecticut, her voice sounded so different.
Oh, yeah. She was like, no.
I'm from Connecticut. Like, yeah. It was a voice that I've never heard come out of Dorit's mouth. Also, when Kathy says, who is Hunky Dory? She says it in this way that I thought was so funny. Everyone's arguing. She goes,
no, but see, last week she didn't know who Mr. Poppins was. Was it Poppins? Puffins or Poppins? She didn't know somebody last week. Kathy is like, who are all these other characters? How many women are on this show? And where are those women? Are there men on this show too, Mr. Poppins?
And then, like, I don't have my glasses on.
I don't have my glasses on. Are there supposed to be other women on the show with me that I don't know about?
The way she says, who is Hunky Dory?
Everybody looks at her and they're like, at first they were like, who are you calling Hunky Dory? Who's saying that you are Hunky Dory? No, she literally thinks there's another person named Hunky Dory.
Who is Hunky Dory?
Yes. And I am convinced that now she thinks that is Dorit's name, Hunky Dory. That's her nickname. I bet Kathy Hilton calls her Hunky Dory in her mind.
Or she thinks that Dorit's husband is Hunky Dory.
Ooh. PK is Chunky Dory.
Chunky Dory. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay, I'm going to say this. Okay, I will eat anything Harry Hamlin makes.
Me too.
But not in that nasty fucking kitchen.
That kitchen needs a reno. That kitchen is stuffed with stuff. Did you see how many vegetables and fruits he had all piled up in the kitchen?
Insane.
There was no room for anything. I feel like that kitchen, the back of the shelves, there's like cockroaches.
Oh, 100%. Remember, there was like a rat in their house.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like that house is open to the elements at all times. Her kitchen is open to the elements and it's filled with food. So I'm sure there are critters in there.
100%.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like the kitchen has ever been deep cleaned.
Yes, it feels grimy. It feels grimy, like it's
like
some grandma stain. Yeah, there's some grandma from Italy, her kitchen that has never been washed ever.
I mean, no disrespect to grandmas from Italy, because I think that kitchen.
No, I'm just saying Italy because the vibe of the house is Italian. Yeah. That's why.
It's just a very It's just a very dingy house and dingy kitchen. It's a very, like, when I think about Rena's house, I think like terracotta.
Mm-hmm.
Very,
which is fine. I love terracotta, but I feel like her kitchen is just too cluttered and it has so much stuff in it. And it's not
clean and washed and bright enough. It also feels dark. Like they have to have lights on at all times. It's dark.
It's very dark.
Yeah.
And then also now they're talking about building a pool. And I'm like, how about you update the inside of your house? But then again, it's like Rinna's house where nobody eats. So
yeah. Yeah. The other thing is Harry Hamlin loves to cook and grow vegetables and cook. But none of Rinna doesn't eat. Her kids don't eat. No. Harry Hamlin barely lives there. He's cooking in Canada. So what
is up bolognese with this
bolognese in Canada? What was that about? He's always making bolognese in Canada. What does Canada have to do
with it? His bolognese is famous in Canada, like Celine Dion once was. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Is he Celine Dion's chef?
Oh, my God.
She doesn't eat either.
She doesn't eat either. When they were at the grocery store, it was very evident that Rinna has never been to a grocery store.
Yeah, she was like, do you want something else? Do you want something else? She was like going down aisles with no fucking reason. It was like Disneyland for her.
It was. And then at the end, did you notice she was looking for wine? And she goes, I just want to see if Whispering Angel is here. Yeah. Which was very much a dig at Lisa Vanderpump, because I think she makes it always a point that she drinks Whispering Angel rosé and not Lisa Vanderpump rosé. So,
yeah.
Okay. Like, the woman hasn't been on the show for like 2 seasons, Rinna. Like, let it go.
Yeah. And she randomly goes into the corner to order some burger. And she's just standing there and pretending she eats food. I'm like, what are you buying burger for? Harry Hamlin can make you something.
No, and also I think that she just went up to the counter to talk about the burger, but not actually buy the burger. Eat it. Yeah. Erica and Crystal go to Kathy's house to play tennis. Because Erica is really doing things this season to keep her check.
Erica has to see. Erica cannot afford not to film this season.
Yes.
She needs every episode check.
Yes.
She is showing up for stuff that she would never show up for before.
Yeah. Like in the past, she would say something like, this face doesn't let balls fly at them.
Yeah.
Or I'm like something dumb like that.
Honey,
you know?
I don't wake up early enough to do this. I am up late at night being Erica Jane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I get enough exercise shaking my booty on the stage. Yeah. I don't need this and whatever. Yeah. She would never do this, but now she's like pretending to hit balls, which she
now she's does. Playing tennis with not just Crystal, but two of Crystal's random friends.
Right. And Crystal's like, yeah, Kathy doesn't mind us using this. We just come over. I'm like, really?
Kathy's asleep. Kathy's walking into her house
in her big pajamas, oversized pajamas. Kathy looks so cute and comfy. She just stumbled down, wobbled down out. She's like, I just woke up. Kathy truly gives zero fucks, and I'm here for it.
It's amazing.
She's the true rich person in this show. She's like,
She really is.
She doesn't care.
And she's the only rich person on that show who I think is just there for fun.
Yeah.
She's just there for the laughs.
She's just there. She thinks there are like 10 other people on the show and nobody notices.
Yeah.
She's like, I want Kathy to name all the women in the show. I bet she doesn't know half of them.
No clue. She could never name everybody on the show.
Yeah.
I feel like she barely remembers who Andy Cohen is.
Or Bravo TV.
Okay, I want her to not only name.
I feel like she didn't even sign the contracts for this show. She has a power of attorney with an attorney who signed the contracts for this show. She doesn't even bother signing her documents herself.
No, not at all. And honestly, I feel like at this point, Bravo could probably just have Kathy on the show for free.
Yeah.
And she would be fine with it.
I would watch Real Housewife off Beverly Hills and just follow Kathy around.
Yes.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah. So we see Kyle and Kathy also meet, and we learn that when things are good with Kathy and Kyle, Kim isn't talking to Kyle. Mm-hmm. But when things are good with Kim and Kyle, Kathy's not talking to Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn that Kyle doesn't have Kim's new number.
Why would Kim give you her number, Kyle, when you are going, she knows it's holiday time and you're going to call her and talk to her, feel sorry for her and make her feel like shit because she's alone. And you yes. have your kids and your husband and you're taking pictures with them for holidays and you feel pity for your sister.
And then she even says, she's like, ugh, don't you feel so bad for Kim? She has no yeah. one. I'm like, shut yeah. up, Kyle. You're so
this is
mean.
Why. This is why Kim changed her number. She doesn't want this negativity in her life.
Yes.
Oh my God. She's talking to Kathy. Kathy doesn't make her feel that way.
Yeah. Also because Kathy, again, doesn't have any ulterior motives for why she yeah. does things.
Yeah.
Kyle was chummy with Kim last season, so Kim could bring Brandy on so they could take down right. Denise.
Yes.
So Kim probably doesn't love the fact that she got used by Kyle mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. destroy a whole other woman. You know what yeah. I mean?
And then once that was done, Kyle probably never called her again, which is why she doesn't have the new number.
There you go. We go to Erica's cute little house. You guys, mm-hmm. she pays $10,000 a month for mm-hmm. rent. Mm-hmm. Sutton pays $10,000 a month for rent.
Mm-hmm.
These are not small houses. They keep talking about it like it's Gina's casita.
Yeah. Somebody, there was something online. I don't know the sources. I just say things because I read it. And I read it at the end of the day when I'm half asleep. So I don't know who posts all this, okay? But this is what I read on the social media. The house that she's living in was bought yes. by an agent. She bought it in an agent's name.
Yes.
And now she's renting from the agent. So essentially, she's paying herself the rent.
Yeah. So basically, Erica's house was bought by Erica in 2009, then mm-hmm. transferred to a company.
To manage the house.
To manage the house. And now she's renting from them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the company that the house was transferred to, I think, was associated with Tom's firm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the webs of the money are, but mm-hmm. Erica's doing just fine. And it's yeah. true. I mean, whatever, Erica does have yeah. a book and yeah. she does have, you know, all these deals. She yeah. has probably all of the deals that like fucking Stassi has. So like mm-hmm. whatever money Stassi makes, Erica makes, plus Erica makes money off of Bravo. The yeah. Beverly Hills Housewives make a fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
Like they all have $1 million contracts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Erica is doing just fine. This, it's just so crazy because she keeps presenting it like some sort of pity party that everybody should yeah. be having on her. And everybody's like, you seem genuinely happy.
Yeah, I wash the dishes. You should see me do the laundry. And I'm...
Congratulations.
Yeah. You know, if you paid Mikey, he would do it for you.
100%.
And I think Mikey's the one who's doing it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Also, you can afford a housekeeper or you can afford a cleaning lady to come to your house, but you can afford uh-huh. Mikey? I don't
yeah.
understand that.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing was that, you know, she is pretending that she is in such a bad place and that she has all this money. Oh, I have this thing and I have that thing. Did you hear that she just got dropped from Rihanna's Fenty line?
Yes.
So things are... Because now the judge has ruled that the defendants can go after her for money.
Yes, correct. So please do note, Erica, what exactly was it that you said? You have the book money and the yeah. deals and the shoe dazzle.
And then she walked through the closets and showed her full display of all of her shoes and her clothes.
Yes.
Every room dedicated to it. I don't understand why she's doing it, though.
Because I mean,
never did that. And now she's doing it and showing off her wealth.
I'm telling you, I think it's because at that point, she thought that divorcing Tom would save her from anybody going after her. And I wouldn't
was she would trying bet. To establish that this is the level at which her life was so that she could ask Tom for more money?
I think that she is showing her life, quote unquote, honestly, because mm-hmm. I bet you that she made a deal with the feds or mm-hmm. she made a deal with somebody mm-hmm. so that she could get off scot-free. And all of the shit that's happening now with mm-hmm. everybody coming for Erica, mm-hmm. I don't think she was expecting it. I think that she divorced him under the impression, like under the guidance that if you leave him, then they can't come for you.
Yes.
If you leave him, then you're a claimant.
Oh, I get it. So she was given bad advice at some point, but that yes. did not stick because of she falsified something or she lied about something and so the deal fell through yes. or she didn't know the full picture and she was not given the right advice. So now
yes.
he is in trouble. Yeah, yeah,
I there can you see go. That. Sutton comes over with Rinna. Rinna loses her mind really fakely over every single thing in the house. Rinna honestly just enters any new space like she's never seen it before.
Rinna entered Erica's house the way Rinna entered the grocery store.
She did.
She was like, oh, wow. Oh, so beautiful. Oh, my God. This is so
gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Oh, my God. Wonderful. Also, Erica's house is huge.
It's huge. Yeah.
The backyard has like a cabana.
And a swimming pool. Right?
And a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Do you know who her neighbor was?
Yeah. What's his name?
My birthday buddy, Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer. And she said that she hears stuff in the backyard and she wouldn't mind an invitation to it. That's what she tweeted out.
Yeah. So Sun comes over when Rinna's over to Erica's house and they're talking about how excited they are to eat Harry Hamlin's bolognese. Okay. Sutton says, I'm really excited to see everybody. I just don't want everybody to keep bringing up the Peeping Tom thing. Sutton, honey, you're the only one bringing it up at this point.
Yes. At this point, no one is bringing that up. Sutton is bringing that up because Sutton feels some sort of way. She cannot get beyond it. She cannot get around that.
Yeah. They go to Rinna's house to eat Harry's bolognese. Again, a sentence I never thought I would say. Do you think that Dorit feels her territory encroached upon because of Harry's setup?
There were pumpkins, not lemons, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And there were no lemons hanging from the top. There were no lemon trees.
Yeah, it didn't look like a bridal boutique.
No.
Which is ironically what Dorit is now doing.
Yeah, Dorit is designing bridal clothes because she has designed rooms. She has designed a room in a hotel, in a restaurant, and she's done some bathing suits. So why not bridal stuff? And I think she would actually be good at it. I think she has good style, actually. She just could, if she could maybe channel
that.
Here's
the thing. But I think the real star, the real creative, the real master of art in all of this is Dorit's plastic surgeon. Because they have done such a good job on Dorit that Dorit can literally wear any clothing in the world and make it look amazing. Her bridal gowns do look really nice, so I will give it to her.
Yeah. How much of that do you think is Dorit's design versus the other designer's design and Dorit is just co-signing it like Kyle did with her caftans?
Oh, 100%. Like, I think I don't think Dorit is doing anything. I think at best Dorit is just a person who is posting those designs on social media and getting traction.
Yeah, she's just licensing her name.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So everybody's having a nice dinner or whatever. Do you think that they all ate those carbs?
No. They barely sat down. They were drinking. They finished the first drink and they were going for the second one. They barely touched any of that food.
Garcelle ate it.
Garcelle ate it and Garcelle is going to take over all the leftovers. So Garcelle's family is going to be fed for a few days.
Yeah. That way she won't have to make all that noise while her kids are doing Japanese.
Oh my God. That was so contrived, first of all. Why would you make it a kid? That house has other rooms. A kid could go elsewhere for his Japanese class.
Yeah.
Garcelle makes him come down and then starts working. And then she calls her other kid on the phone, tells him to come down to load the dishwasher, which will make more noise. Okay, Garcelle, I know this is what we all are going through, but you didn't have to contrive that whole.
Yes. I love that Garcelle asks for leftovers and then she's like, I want to take it home where I can eat it when nobody's watching me. She's the only one that's going to actually eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they take out a cake for Garcelle. And here is when our friend Sutton starts to slowly unravel. At this point, the only person who's brought up anything about the Violet Gate is Kathy says, hi, Thomasina, to Sutton, which, you know, Sutton hates.
Yeah.
But again, it was Kathy, not Crystal. Yeah,
not Crystal.
They have this nice meal.
Yeah.
They bring out presents for Garcelle. And Sutton forgets to bring a present.
Yes.
And it's very clear that as everybody's enjoying themselves and having a nice time, Sutton has a meltdown because, like Crystal said a couple of episodes ago, when Sutton is not included in a thing, Sutton feels like that is an attack on who Sutton is.
Yes. Yep.
And she starts to unravel. And rather than taking any ownership for how she feels because of her own actions, she starts to say she's uncomfortable being there because she doesn't like Crystal and she doesn't want to be fake. And then she has, you know, a wonderful meltdown. I found the last 10 minutes of this episode to be so entertaining.
I want to watch it again. I didn't have time to, but I want to watch it again because it was beautiful.
Let's watch it again on Saturday.
Yes.
At brunch.
Yes.
And just laugh and laugh and laugh.
Because, like, this is what made, like, this is why we keep comparing Sutton to Shannon Bedore. Yes. Because they are so unhinged that nobody takes them seriously. Like, they're unhinged in a way that's actually not dangerous to anybody, only to themselves. But even that in a way where they're actually not hurting anybody.
Yes. So Sutton is actually doing the nervous thing where she's putting her lipstick on and she's sitting there. She's unraveling a little bit. But nobody's really noticing that. Everybody's happy. The attention is on Garcelle. Garcelle is opening gifts. She's all fine. What struck me was how Kyle all of a sudden was looking at Sutton. It was almost like Kyle knew that Sutton had not been included in the present planning. Doreen gave a present all by herself.
Yes.
Rinna gave a present with Erica.
Yes.
And Crystal asked Kyle, it was Crystal's pick of a gift. But Crystal asked, so Crystal must have asked, told Kyle and Kathy that they could go in with her on that gift.
Wouldn't be surprised if Crystal told Kathy and Kathy mentioned it to Kyle. So Kyle tagged Kyle on. Jump.
So then Kyle suddenly realizes, oh, we left out Sutton. And now she's worried that because she went in with Crystal on this gift, she's worried about what Sutton is thinking. So yes. That's why she looks over to Sutton. Even then, Sutton is perfectly fine. She's not, she's just looking around and watching and she's not doing anything. Kyle goes over and keeps prodding her and saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?
Yeah. Sniper on the side. We yes. say this every episode. Mm-hmm. It's Kyle who's the problem.
Yeah.
As Sutton is melting down, that is when everybody, Garcelle actually pulls up Crystal and says, what do you want? What do you want Crystal to do?
Yeah.
And instead of Sutton actually even having like a normal conversation, she says, I want to know what crazy planet you come from. Like, that's not a way to have a conversation with somebody who you're mad at. Like, so, that's not a way that you want to have a conversation with someone when you want a resolution. This is, that's not a conversation. That's you lashing out on Crystal, and Crystal not responding is the thing that really drives Sutton over the edge. And it's what makes me so happy.
But also, Crystal calls Sutton crazy before. Crystal has called Sutton a few things, which, again, can be triggering. Not good. Yeah. We can balance that out. Crystal also has now pegged Sutton to be an unstable person. So she's avoiding. She's going to keep her smile on her face and not respond to Sutton because she knows that anything she says, it's only going to rile her up even further.
Yes.
So she's just being quiet. And when Garcelle pulls over Crystal and says, Sutton, what do you want her to say? What do you want her to say so we can say it and move on? Crystal is willing. She's waiting there. She's like,
yeah,
say it. Yeah. Tell me what you want me to say. And Sutton is like, I pray to Jesus every day.
I just want somebody to throw me a bone. And I want to know what crazy planet you come from. When they cut to Erica reacting.
That's when Sheree jumps from the bushes and says, I'm the bone collector. I have the bones.
So then, yeah, they freak out. Crystal's not going to budge. She says, look up the word violate. I don't know why you're angry about it. I'm not going to take that word back, which we've talked about ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Because Crystal feels violated. That doesn't mean that Sutton was trying to violate her or that Sutton is a violator. It just means that she felt
violated. Also, at this point, Crystal is like, haven't we had this conversation and said that we have buried this and we're going to move on? Why do I have to keep bringing this up again and again? Now, at this point, I don't want to say sorry because I don't want to be talking about it in the first place. And now you're just doing this for drama and I'm not going to fall for it.
Yeah. So when Crystal says, you're just jealous.
Yeah.
What do you think she means? Because I have a theory, obviously.
No, what could it be? What could Sutton be jealous of Crystal? What did Crystal be? I don't know. I didn't understand that part.
Obviously, her ugly leather pants.
Yes.
But also, at this point when they're taping, Sutton is only a friend of. She does not have a diamond. Crystal has a diamond. Ooh. And Crystal is meshing with the girls. She's friendly with the girls. And the whole time, Sutton keeps having these meltdowns where she feels left out. And it wouldn't be surprised if Crystal at that point is thinking maybe Sutton feels left out because she's not a full-time cast member. She's only a friend of.
Yeah, and Sutton might actually be going through that where Sutton thinks, I have been on this show for 2 years and all of a sudden now Crystal is making me out to be crazy and now I'm going to be canceled and I'm not going to have this job.
And also, I
think that Sutton feels really angry at herself because she keeps having these awkward interactions and she keeps beating herself up because ultimately she knows that her performance is also her audition.
Yes.
So she's not going to be on the show. She's going to get canceled in real life. People are going to think she's a peeping Tom, which is like, no, Sutton, nobody thinks that.
Yeah.
Peeping Toms don't politely knock and enter a room.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that she's freaking out because she thinks she's bombing her audition and also because she feels left out and she forgot a present for her friend. Like, you forgot a gift, and rather than taking accountability for your own actions causing you this much distress, it's easier for you to get mad at Crystal because everybody seems to be getting chummy with Crystal, the full-time housewife. And that's why Crystal says, are you jealous? This is, guys, this is a private experience.
It is a private experience. I think Sutton is having perfectly defined private experience. Crystal is having her own too, by the way. Crystal is having her own private experience where she thinks Sutton is out there thinking that she's weird or whatever. And
but she had it and she let it pass.
She let it pass. Yes, that's true.
I think one of my favorite things about this interaction is just how intense and irrational and erratic Sutton is.
Yeah.
And just the lack of reaction from Crystal, which
people
on the internet are now saying is so evil and smug of Crystal.
Yeah.
Look, Crystal is, we've said this before, she just met this lady. This lady tells her, I don't see color and I don't want to talk about race. Then she proceeds to spend the rest of the time making Crystal feel like she's the one that's attacking her. Then she has this awkward interaction where this woman walks in on her room and even up until this, even during this party, says, what were you hiding in there? Why are you so defensive? So it's not like Crystal is really just feeling these, her private experience of feeling violated on her own.
No, Sutton is also saying this. This was the one time when I said, okay, Sutton really thought Crystal was doing something weird.
Yeah.
Because she's like, what were you doing? What are you hiding? Why are you upset about it? Why would you feel violated if you were just changing your clothes? That wouldn't make you violated. So why would you be feeling that? What were you up to?
Yeah, exactly.
That's implying that Crystal was doing something else in there.
Yeah, exactly. So like, if I had a weird interaction like that with some white lady who told me she didn't see color and that she didn't ever want to talk about race because white people get stereotyped against them too, I would also smile smugly every single time they freaked out over nothing.
Yeah.
I would take absolute joy in watching them crumble because Crystal has talked about her own family growing up there. She's talked about her father getting racial slurs shouted at him. She's talked about a lot of those things kind of in passing. We're slowly getting to know Crystal. But for her to watch this woman of privilege talk about how hard her life is because she feels like she's left out, quote unquote. She's upset because people think all white people are racist.
Or that she just moved her house.
Or she just moved her house.
Oh, my God.
To sit there and listen to that is really difficult. And the only thing we can do as people of color sometimes in those situations is sit there and smile. Because you know what? If we gave a reaction, we'd be fucked.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are looking for people of color to have these big reactions so then they can react to it.
Yeah.
If you even think about what happened with Crystal and Sutton, right? Crystal, Sutton got mad at Crystal for having a reaction to Sutton doing something.
Yeah.
Sutton got mad at Crystal for Crystal saying, I feel violated.
Yeah.
So she got mad at the reaction that Crystal is having. And she skipped over what she did to cause that reaction.
Yeah.
And that's the problem here.
All Sutton had to say is, I'm sorry. That wasn't my intention. I'm sorry I made you feel awkward. I felt awkward walking in. And and that's why I reacted that way. I'm sorry if I made you feel awkward too. It was an awkward moment for both of us. Let's just move on. And that would be it.
That was done with Crystal and Sutton when Crystal cried to Sutton and said, this is what I felt. And it was only made worse by Kyle and Dorit and Kathy who keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
It's easier for Sutton to lash out on Crystal than it is for her to lash out on the other women.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Crystal would probably smile that way even if it was a Asian person.
Yes.
Wigging out.
Yes.
Crystal is reacting the way any one of us should react to because reacting to somebody losing it, if you lose it too, it just feeds that energy. So she is reacting it the way she would react if her kids lost it.
Yes. And we saw her react that way when her kids lost it.
Yeah. She would just stand there, stand her ground and smile and not give away. And that's what she's doing. That's just her way of not reacting to somebody losing it like that. There was no pain, really, on Sutton's part that Crystal had to address. I don't think that pain was that big of a deal. It's not like Crystal was laughing at Sutton's misery of some sort, where Sutton had some illness or something of that sort, and Crystal was just laughing at that. No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
She just was refusing to react and feed Sutton's erratic energy. That's about it. That's all she was doing.
And so don't get mad at Crystal for not giving you the reaction that you're looking for on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, if you're like watching this and then you're going on social media and you're looking at Twitter and you're getting upset because people are saying terrible, mean, racist things, welcome to the world, baby. Mm-hmm. That's just – that's how life is for people of color in media. Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of New York. Now, I don't usually watch the recaps, but it just like the previously on Real Housewives of New York. But I did watch this one and I heard Ebony say something that I thought was really important. Mm-hmm. Ebony says, I'm not on the payroll to teach white women. She says this during her lunch with Leah in the previous episode.
I noticed it too, because when Leah says, I also want you to be chill and enjoy, and it's not your job to do this. Yeah. And that you may be intimidating.
Yeah. I think it's wrong for Leah to say you're intimidating them.
Yeah. But Ebony doesn't say anything about it.
No, she doesn't. Ebony never says anything about Leah, which is my problem with Ebony. Problem with Ebony, for the record, is not that Ebony is talking about being black or talking about her culture or anything. Mm-hmm. My problem with Ebony is that she is trying to school a dinosaur like Ramona, who is not going to change her mind, but she has remained really quiet on the things that Leah has done on and off camera.
Right. If I were told by somebody that I could be intimidating, that would bother me. And it didn't seem to bother Ebony at all.
It was calling a black woman intimidating is not great.
Yeah.
Calling a woman of color intimidating is not great.
Yeah.
So anyway, this episode, we got a lot more Brashan. Let me tell you, I love Brashan.
I like her so far.
I like her I really enjoy her. I love her. I love her voice. She's got this like husky voice.
Right.
Which I'm obsessed
with. She reminds you of Marlo.
Oh my God. She's got the Marlo voice.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. And also we can connect those dots because it's the voice that Ben and Ronnie do.
Yes. That is the voice. It's the Marlo voice.
Now, this episode, I will say, was really just a great textbook example of all these white ladies throwing each other under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to get their friends to throw people on the bus. So Brashan goes to lunch with Ramona, and Ramona is clearly trying to bait Brashan into bashing Ebony. And Brashan, unfortunately, I mean, she doesn't take the bait, but she sort of does agree with her that Ebony is well-intentioned, but long-winded.
Yeah.
And she just wasn't expecting that. But, I mean, Brashan seemed to have a lot of fun after Ramona left, and she mentioned that as well.
Yeah.
Ebony and Sonia go to Philly for this matchmaking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question. When they're on the bus and Ebony says, no shit in Salem, do you think they mean that Ramona, Sonia and Ramona shouldn't shit their pants?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what she's saying. Because
what the hell else could it be, right?
What else could it be? Such a weird scene. It doesn't – this time, this episode, I felt a little – there was a little bit of a disconnect between Sonia and Ebony.
Sonia was weird this episode.
Yeah.
I think Sonia gets weird. She was overcorrecting.
She was overcorrecting, and I think Sonia gets anxious when she thinks about relationships.
Yes.
And when she's trying to get into a relationship and she's trying to be, she's like, I don't know, you know, people only know me for what my personality and what they see on social media. They don't know the real me. And I felt like going to this matchmaker thing was a little stressful for Sonia. So she might have taken something.
Sonia saying over and over again that she's an introvert and alone owner was really something, because from the beginning of time, all we've known of Sonia is that she like partied.
Did Sonia say that? I thought Ebony said she was an
introvert. Ebony says she's a loner and she's an introvert. And Sonia says, me too.
Oh,
and she goes on and on about how she's a loner. But she also like partied in like, what is it, Studio 64 or 54, whatever that was. Yeah. She's talked about how she's partied with John Kennedy and Madonna and Gestapo. With her smoky eye and her updo, like, what are you talking about? That you're a loner, like, who are you? And it made me realize in that moment,
I think
that
she's lonely, she's not lonely, she's not a loner, she's alone and lonely.
But also, that Sonia just takes on the personality of whoever she's with.
True, that is the other thing, that she reflects the person that she's talking to. Because she's afraid to be vulnerable about herself.
Yes. So they go to this matchmaker, and the whole time, the only thing I could really, again, pick up was Sonia sitting there and talking about all of the things that she used to do with her ex-husband. But even that, like, she's like, oh, we just, you know, we're such loners. We like to be home all the time. Like, Sonia, you cheated on your old man ex-husband because you were partying all the time. We know that.
Right. Yeah.
What are you talking about? It almost feels like
she has her own narrative in her head about what happened.
And then also on the bus, Sonia she stirs the pot with Ebony.
Yes.
She's like, oh, you know, I know you have your own agenda. I mean, oops, I shouldn't say that. I just know that that's your personality, that you want to talk about the movement and politics and everything. And that's just who you are. And I tried to explain that to the girls. And, you know, they just didn't understand it. Like, Sonia, you ate a big part of that conversation, which was you agreeing with them.
Yes. Yeah.
So Sonia tried to throw Ramona and Luana under the bus in that moment.
Right. Yeah, she did that. Sonia.
I know.
We were just praising you last week.
I know. But
I think she means well. She just wants to please everybody. If she's with the girls, she wants to please them. If she's with Ebony, she wants to please them.
But also, she was at Ebony's election night party where she was bashing Ramona for taking pictures with Brashan or taking pictures with Ebony.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they
Sonia is like, whatever she read on social media that day, she's spouting it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
They go on this bus trip to Salem, which I want to understand why in a world
they were so excited about it, though.
They are, but I want to understand in what world it makes sense to take a bunch of women, two of whom are Black, to a town with like a rich slave history. And also, like, why would women want to go to a place where women were murdered and burnt at the stake?
Because
for likely having postpartum stress.
Or progressive thoughts.
Or progressive thoughts, yeah.
Because it's Leah's party. It's Leah's turn to host something, and this is what Leah is into. This is because it's Leah. It's Leah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
We did learn on the tour bus about more of Brashan's cancer journey, and honestly, my favorite part of this episode was Luann, Sonia, and Brashan sitting around looking at a laptop of vibrators that they all want to buy.
Yes.
I was like, why doesn't Brashan have an Apple?
Yeah. Why doesn't Brashan have an Apple, and why didn't we get a little bit more about that? Lou was so excited about shopping for them. She was like, let's do it right now. Let's do it now. Let me show you. Yeah, she was like all into it. That's the Lou that I want. That was very authentic in that moment. They went from stage 4 breast cancer to let's search for vibrators.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you know, Luann is really serious about vibrators, because remember when they went on vacation and she said that her personal hand mixer was buzzing in her luggage?
Yeah.
Yeah. they stay at the Hawthorne Hotel, which Nathaniel Hawthorne is like not a good guy.
Nope. And they are like pretending, oh, is this where the, is there a ghost? Is there not a ghost?
Here's my question. Why do they all have this fantasy of getting fucked by ghosts? That is like non-consensual and strange. I don't understand this. Women keep making jokes about getting fucked by ghosts and I don't get it.
They say that, but they're also shocked when they say, oh, there were 19 women were hanged here. They're like, here, like in this building, in this house here. They're like freaked out by that. But aren't you visiting Salem?
Where again,
all these people were.
Yes.
It is a sad history. It's a creepy history. Like, why would you? You know what you're getting into, right? Right? And then going to Salem and then wearing leather and tattoo and it was such a disconnect. What are they trying to do?
They all just wore like trash bags.
Yeah.
They go to this latex and leather party and all the women just want to fuck all of these semi-spooky workers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. Like,
yeah.
They want to get dick down so bad either by a ghost or like a 17-year-old twin. Twins. Working the door at this at this
they're
restaurant.
Like, we're here to scare you. And so he's like, I wasn't scared, but I'll have your phone numbers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you want to be interns?
Okay. Everybody thinks Sonia wanted to bone them, but I think Sonia saw an opportunity for them to learn how to run a bath.
Yeah. She was like, I could teach you something. Do you know plumbing? Do you know how to do some plumbing?
Have you ever washed a thong in a bidet?
Yes. Have you picked up dog poop from a fish from a koi pond?
So they sit down and they start to talk about this trip to Philly. Mm-hmm. Everybody asks, how was your trip to Philly? And Sonia fucking says, so insane. Sonia goes, oh, the trip was great. Ebony was very calm.
What does that have to do with anything?
Okay, if I was Ebony in that situation, I'd be like,
right?
Here's the thing. These women, okay, so Sonia and Lou, it's like they're all trying to throw each other under the bus to impress the new black girl.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And unfortunately, Ebony is sort of taking their bait. Because
she is. That's the part that bothers me a little bit. She's noticing that Sonia is stirring the pot and she's taking the bait and she's going off on Ramona again instead of checking Sonia at that point.
Yeah. Why didn't you check Sonia to say, why would you say that?
Yeah. What does that mean?
Why would you say they're asking you how the trip went? Meaning, like, the matchmaking.
Yeah.
And your answer to them is, don't worry, guys. I checked out Ebony, and she's cool. Just
cool.
Yeah. We can still be friends with her. She didn't preach to me about black people this time.
Yeah.
Like, it was the weirdest reaction. Mm-hmm. But I did note the fact that they start to have this conversation, and Ebony starts to talk about white supremacists, and all the white ladies lose their hair. Okay, they don't like that word. They don't understand it. So Ebony says, okay, wait, let me take this moment to talk about it. I thought it was strange at first, but then I realized the taping of this. I looked up when they went to Salem. Mm-hmm. It was November 17th. This is right after the election results. This is 10 days after the election results. And this was a time where you'll remember all of the white supremacists were coming out of the woodwork, going on Parler.
And they were... Yeah, and they were threatening to come to D.C.
Yes. This is when they started planning what they did on January 6th.
Yeah.
This is when all the insurrectionists started doing their bullshit.
Yeah.
And so Ebony starts to talk about it at that moment because all this shit is coming up. And I think that when she says, are you aligning yourself with white supremacists, that's what she's trying to kind of get at. But then again, like Leah, she starts to make a good point about what it is that is actually happening here. And it's about the hazing. So Leah is like, really, it's not actually about Ebony and what she's saying or her talking about race or her talking about social justice. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that you guys give her a really hard time. Mm-hmm. I think what Leah's kind of pointing out is that there is a possibility here for all of this to look inauthentic because you guys are historically terrible to the new girl.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be terrible to Ebony because Ebony is the first Black woman to be on Real Housewives of New York. So they kind of do break the fourth wall in that moment to talk about it. But then Leah loses me because she throws Ebony under the bus. They start to talk about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Ebony says, you know, if you associate with Trump, say it with your chest. Mm-hmm. Talk about why you like Trump. Mm-hmm. And if you like Trump because he's a racist, if you like Trump because you're a white supremacist, you should say that with your chest too.
Yeah.
And that's what she's trying to get out of Ramona, which Ramona is incapable of talking about.
Because Ramona is never going to let any of those words get into her brain and never going to speak about it. She's never going to do it. She's never, 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 never going to admit any of that.
Ever. Because I don't think Ramona actually knows why she votes for Trump.
I think she understands why she votes for Trump, which is because she gets invited to Mar-a-Lago and she hangs around with all the rich people and she's still trying to get some rich dick. That's about all Ramona cares about.
Yes, correct.
She doesn't care about the world she lives in. She doesn't care about other people that she lives with. She doesn't care about what's happening on the border or at the immigration or white supremacy or any of that. Ramona is about herself. Ramona is very much like Trump-like.
She is. She totally is.
Yeah. She is very much about Ramona and that's all she cares about.
And so Ramona continues to not want to have the conversation. Mm. And I actually happen to agree with Brashan in that moment to say, this isn't really getting anywhere because nobody is quite understanding what it is that Ebony is trying to say. What Ebony is trying to say is, if you align with white supremacists, that we can't be friends. Mm-hmm. I'm here to be friends with you guys. I'm here to have authentic conversations with you guys. Mm-hmm. But at that time, November 17th, 10 days after the election results came in, it was a very volatile time and there was a lot of white supremacist energy happening. Yeah. So at that time, what Ebony was trying to point out was if in this moment you are aligning with Trump, despite him being backed by white supremacists, then you need to say that with your chest. Mm-hmm. But Ramona, like we said, cannot say that with her chest. There's not a lot that Ramona can say with her chest except for
her boobs, because she's with the girls.
Her boobs do all the talking with her chest.
Yeah.
So she's trying to have this conversation. The women cannot handle it. Leah throws Ebony under the bus by saying, you thought Trump wasn't a bad guy. Your parents voted for Trump, which you can tell by Ebony's face in that moment. She's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And again, like, that's the stuff I want Ebony to talk about. I think Ramona is such a fucking monster. And we've said that a million times.
And
I don't think Luann is great. But I think what's more dangerous is young people wearing progressive cloaks who are actually more dangerous, like Leah.
But the other thing that I was also surprised with was when Leah says that, nobody checks Leah, not just Ebony, but nobody else picks up on that and says, Ramona doesn't say, well, how come Leah can say that? You're okay with it. Luann could say that, or Brashan could have brought it up and said, Brashan could have said, Leah, but what you're saying is wrong too. Nobody checks Leah for some reason. And I don't get that. I don't get that. It's not only on, we keep talking about how Ebony should check Leah. Yeah. But if you're a true ally, you would also be taking on that role, right? So why isn't Sonia checking Leah? Why isn't anyone checking Leah on what she's saying?
Exactly. It's annoying because it's like Ramona is the low-hanging fruit and everybody can bond together about how ridiculous Ramona is. Like Ramona did that thing that you pointed out, which is where she jumps on top of people and starts smothering them. So she tries to do that on top of Ebony and she starts to compliment her and say, oh, I don't know what your struggle is. You're rich. You have nicer things than I do, blah, blah, blah. And again, that's a really important conversation. to have, where Ebony can say, you think that way, Ramona, but if you were my friend, you would understand.
But she's expecting from Ramona, she's expecting a coherent reasoning from Ramona as to why she voted for Trump.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
never going to get that.
No.
Ramona doesn't have a coherent and logical reasoning for it. It is not even, she doesn't even have a white supremacist reasoning for voting for Trump. She has the reasoning of voting for Trump because Trump opens up doors for her in her mind that she wants to open.
Yes, that's a great point.
Yeah. So Ebony is expecting something from Ramona that Ramona will never be, is not capable of providing.
Yeah.
The other women are getting a little defensive because she's bundling up Luann with Ramona, Sonia with Ramona, and they're trying to say that we are not the same either. Yes.
But they're also not great.
Yeah, they're not great either, but they're like, we didn't vote for Trump, so why are you clubbing us with Ramona?
Yes.
And she's like, no, you understand that, but somebody else didn't. And Luann is like, oh, okay, fine. As long as you're not calling me out, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So everybody is stepping aside and letting Ebony and Ramona go at it. Meanwhile, Sonia is the one who stirred the pot, and Leah is the one being equally obnoxious, and no one's calling out Leah, and Sonia gets up and walks around.
Yeah, Leah she digs at Ramona and activates Ramona in another way, where Ramona is then incapable of having a conversation with anyone. She was already incapable of having a conversation with anyone, but Leah then screaming, you're what's wrong with the world. You're so fucked up. You live in your own bubble, blah, 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 is also like, not, that's not helping your friend. Insulting that person is not helping your friend, because Ebony is not trying to insult Ramona.
Ebony is trying to get to know Ramona. I want to understand. Ebony's mistake is that she thinks she can understand Ramona, which is impossible. She cannot. She is barking up the wrong tree. This is not a battle she's going to win. She's not never going to understand Ramona. It's not going to go anywhere. It's like hitting your head against a wall with Ramona. That's not going to happen. But Leah is making it worse, because now the issue becomes what Leah said to Ramona, and Ramona screaming back at Leah. And yet again, what Ebony wanted to say and wanted Ramona to have a conversation about is laid to the wayside.
Exactly. Ugh. So there's a lot of chatter, obviously, on social media about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Crystal and Real Housewives of New York and Ebony. And I think that there's obviously criticism that is clearly mean and rooted in terrible shit.
Mm-hmm.
People talking poorly about Crystal or Ebony or whatever. Some of the commentary, obviously, you can read the comments, is really racist.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to realize that every first season housewife, every housewife's new season, they are critiqued this way.
Mm-hmm.
People get really in their feelings about the person that looks like them getting bashed on TV. Mm-hmm. Anila got bashed on TV, and we said she should, because Anila was an idiot on Married to Medicine. Okay. Obviously, I don't think Ebony's an idiot. I don't think Crystal's an idiot, but we have to allow. And like, we don't have to, this is my point of view. And I think, Arthi, this is yours too, which is, you got to allow people to have their own opinions about these things.
Yeah.
Just because somebody else finds Real Housewives of New York boring
doesn't
mean that it's an attack on you or attack on Ebony. It just has to do with that person's opinion in that moment. We have to sort of pull away our protectiveness over these people on TV. Because let me tell you, Real Housewives of Dallas, that was one of like the most painful seasons to watch.
Yeah.
We watched the whole thing. A lot of people are going to say, oh, it's because you added an Asian cast member, and that's why the season sucked. It doesn't matter what they say, because I know what the truth was, and I know why the season was horrible. And it wasn't because of Tiffany. It was because of how these women reacted to Tiffany.
Yes.
Tiffany was just Tiffany. How they reacted to them is what's making it uncomfortable. Real Housewives of New York, Ebony is Ebony. How everybody is reacting to Ebony on the show is what is making these situations awkward.
Right.
How Ramona reacts to Ebony, where she ignores her or where she tries to deflect, or Sonia, how she says, Ebony was calm. These conversations, how these women are reacting to Ebony is what's making these situations mm-hmm. uncomfortable. And it's not because of who Ebony is. It's because mm-hmm. of who Ramona and Sonia and Luann are.
Yeah.
And so when you watch these shows and you read the commentary on social media and you hear people say this stuff, trust and believe none of the shit that's happening on social media is the stuff that's actually going to change casting or change how these women are billed or yeah. how successful they are.
Yeah.
Remove yourself from it a little bit.
Agree. That's where it is. And it gets worse next week.
Yeah, because they have to go again. Leah planned a thing where they're all going to
Salem. No shit in Salem.
Yeah, no shit in Salem.
Except no shit.
Except they're going to a place in Salem where they're all supposed to dress like fucking pilgrims.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would Leah plan a thing where two black women have to dress like pilgrims?
I don't know.
In November 2020. I don't understand.
It's Leah.
And why isn't Leah getting shit for it? You know, if Ramona had done that,
yeah,
she would get shit for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Leah would be the one giving her shit.
Yeah. Everybody, you know those memes of like the real villain, the TV villain and the real villain? The TV villain is Ramona. The real villain is Leah.
Yeah, exactly.
Ramona is the comment section of a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Leah is Twitter. Sometimes you got to pick your poison, but it's not really that much better on either side.
Luann is Instagram.
Luann is the comment section on Instagram.
Yeah.
Luann is actually like Gen Z making TikToks about like common things that everybody knows.
True.
Actually, that's Sonia.
You're right.
With like a tiny microphone talking to us about like fucking Home Alone or something. And we're like, yeah we know.
Yeah. Tell me you're a racist without telling me you're a racist.
Exactly. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, but look, all of the criticism aside, I still love watching Roni.
I don't know. I'm watching it. I'm not enjoying it as much. I don't know why. Maybe because in the past, Roni has been so much fun to make fun of.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot to make fun of. It's a lot of serious talk, and which is fine, but there's something to make fun of in Beverly Hills. So I think both of them running at the same time, the contrast is a little bit the other way around. So I'm actually enjoying Beverly Hills a little bit. I didn't think I would, but I'm enjoying it, particularly because Sutton is losing it and Kathy Hilton is looking for hunky dory.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the difference is that Sutton is losing it in a way that isn't necessarily dangerous to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ramona is belligerent in a way that is dangerous to people.
Yes. And the Ramona-Ebony conversation is a little bit more important.
Yes.
Not a little bit, a lot more important. But also, I have serious thoughts about it. So it's not funny.
It's not funny. It's painful and sad.
Painful and sad, and it feels a little PTSD because I've just gone through it, and I was hoping for a break before we start thinking about it again, because you know that Monster is coming back. He's already, social media is already going off, and people are trying to bring him back and vote for him. He's going to try and run again. All of that stuff. So things are going to get worse a year from now, 2 years from now, when the election season starts. I just want a break for a year before we have to deal with that bullshit again.
I understand.
But there's no normal. There's you cannot escape it.
There's no normal. Reality.
There's no you cannot escape it. It's just wishful thinking.
Like, if I could give Ebony any advice, and I hope maybe she'll soak this in for the next season, is you have to let the racists put their own feet in their own mouths.
Yeah. See, she didn't even have to say much, and Ramona was already talking about it.
Like, you don't have to do anything. Ramona's gonna make herself look like an idiot. It's like the same thing we say to Leah, right? Like, you don't have to have a fucking tantrum every time. Ramona's gonna make herself look stupid. So I'm not saying obviously Ebony's not having a tantrum, but that's why Brashan is like, there's no point in having this conversation because these people aren't listening. They're not getting it. It's too important of a conversation to be had in a place where you have two spooky twins and a man on stilts.
Yes. Which is why it seems a little bit more like work to watch it.
I think we just have a little bit of PTSD from having to have these exact conversations in real life.
In real life, exactly.
But also, this is what happens when you put a very opinionated Black woman in a room with women who have never, ever met a woman like her before.
And isn't it, didn't Sonia say, or was it Luann who said, Ramona doesn't even have those words?
This is always my issue with Housewives is... It starts to get difficult to watch when you realize that these conversations, the reason why I get so triggered is because when I am in a room with people I don't have real relationships with as a person of color, I am nervous about having to have these exact conversations. And sometimes I have to have these exact conversations.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, it's not pleasant. It's really difficult.
Yeah. If it's difficult for them to hear it, it's just as difficult, if not more, for us to have those conversations.
To have these conversations. And then on top of it, these shows are meant to show authentic relationships, right? And I think what we're seeing between Ebony and Ramona is actually very authentic. It is what happens to us. It is what happens to people of color when they are placed in a room with people who don't understand them and don't know them. But I think for a television show like Real Housewives, one of the things that I always say is you have to have people on the show that have real friendships with each other.
Yeah.
With real relationships with each other. That is why Potomac works.
Yeah.
That's why Atlanta is getting difficult to watch, because now these women don't actually have any friendships with each other.
Yeah.
That's actually why I think Beverly Hills is good this season, because all of the women actually hang out off camera.
And they have become friends.
And they have become friends.
Yeah.
But what's difficult with Real Housewives of New York is, first of all, it's not enough people. You put all the burden on Ebony. It's too much. It's too much, and it's too important.
And you brought in Bershan. Bershan has a slightly different viewpoint, which is fine. You should see that there's not one single kind of viewpoint. Yeah.
They're not monolith.
That's fine, but also the way you brought in Bershan is you almost seem to be pitting them against each other.
Yes, and that's another thing that's really uncomfortable. It's very obvious that the way the casting was done is to pit these two Black women against each other to be like...
So Leah and Ramona don't get along with each other. They're fighting. Let Leah bring one Black person and Ramona bring the other Black person.
And make them fight with each other.
Yeah.
And that's gross.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like is happening.
Yeah. I'm noticing more and more of that. Bershan is being pitted against Ebony. And I'm not quite happy with that. No. I know that Bershan's viewpoint is also important. And her viewpoint is shared by a lot of people, a lot of Black people. And it's fine. And there are more than the two viewpoints too.
Right. But it's also, I wish that instead of having a Black person come and fight your fucking fight, Ramona, or Luann, or Sonia, you would actually use your own fucking words. But again, these are conversations that are too important to be had with fucking idiots who don't understand and don't listen.
Belligerent and,
Yeah. The cast is like too unhinged for these conversations.
Correct.
For it to be, like, I actually thought whatever happened in the Sag Harbor stuff, that was good.
That told us that they did not get it.
Yeah, the Sag Harbor thing proved that they didn't understand.
Right.
And again, I think that we have to think about the context of when this was filmed. This was filmed during a really difficult time.
It was.
So at that time, this is what we were thinking about. We were thinking about, if you voted for Trump and you're still mad about the election results, it's probably because you align with white supremacists.
Correct.
So
what she's asking is true.
But again,
is she asking that of everybody that she knows of?
Is she asking that of somebody like Leah?
Yeah.
And if she is having these conversations with Leah, I'd love to see that on camera.
Exactly.
And again, these are important conversations. Mm-hmm. And that's what's difficult is these are very important conversations that we should be having, but we need to be having them with people who actually give a shit and people who actually can make an impact and have the mental capacity to handle big words, because they don't understand nuance. They don't, like, again, it's not Ebony, it's these women and how they're reacting to Ebony. And that's what's difficult to watch.
Yeah.
But I still like it and I'm still watching it because, so you know, I did make a reel of the witch. So that's that. But all right, guys. Well, that was a lot. But
that was a lot. That was.
We will talk to you on, oh my God, we're going to talk to them on Wednesday. And usually we talk about Married to Medicine and Shadows of Sunset. But I think we're going to have to talk about Potomac, baby.
Yay.
I think for the premiere, we will talk about it on our Wednesday episode. But after that, we will talk about all of our Housewives stuff together on Saturdays, yeah, as usual.
It'll be just before the next episode airs.
It'll be a good refresher.
A refresher. Yeah.
Yes. It's just going to be us giggling over how much we love Karen anyway.
Yes.
Oh, I love her. Okay, guys. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.